Okay, we don't have a lot of time today. Let's dive right into it. So we're talking about getting a dose of humility, and we're trying to break that indifference and enamel as we continue our study of the 30th chapter of Tanya. So we talked about the notion that we really can't judge somebody else, because if we would be in their shoes, or as they say, walk a mile in their shoes, we might do as bad or even worse, which doesn't exonerate anybody. It doesn't mean that, objectively speaking, what's being done is right. Ultimately, right is right and wrong is wrong. And for us, morality and right and wrong comes from Torah, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. But what we are saying is that it's not in our purview to pass judgment on others and call them horrible people, even though they may be doing not nice things. Why not? Why not? Because they have a big Yetzirah and they have an enormous challenge. And if we would have to fight the Yetzirah in the same way, we'd fall short too, or even maybe shorter. And that's how we explain the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu as Anav Mikol Adam Shalpnei Adama, that Moshe Rabbeinu would be the humblest of people, was the humblest of people, even before a person who was a sinner, a person who had fallen very low. How did he do that? So simple, Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, if I would be in that person's shoes, I probably would be doing same. And if they would be in my shoes, they might be doing even better. So that's how he maintained his humility. The Alter Rebbe took this a step further, as we started to learn last week. Not only is it true that would we be in somebody else's shoes, we might fall as short as they are, or shorter, but furthermore, are we, in our current state, actually battling the Yetzirah in the way we expect somebody else to? So that is to say like this. You look at somebody and say, hey, you're not doing the right thing. The person is like, yeah, maybe. Maybe. I know you're not doing the right thing. In the code of Jewish law, it says such and such. And the Torah is very clear about it, what it says. This is wrong. This is very bad what you're doing. You're a bad person. And the person says, well, you know, I have a big Yetzirah. Not an excuse. It's true. It's not an excuse. Hashem didn't say, you have to keep mitzvahs. But if you have a Yetzirah, then you have a way out. He gave us all the mitzvahs. We're all responsible for the same mitzvahs. However, the question is, you are making expectations. You say, hey, how come you're not battling Yetzirah? How come you're not vanquishing your demons? The Alter Rebbe says, are you vanquishing your demons? You want to know, forget the details of what his demons are or what her challenge is. Let's forget that for a moment. Let's forget and say, well, I don't do that. Yeah, maybe you don't. That's true. Maybe you, but that's not one of your challenges. In the areas where you are challenged, how well are you doing? And the Alter Rebbe starts off, "Bebechinas va'asei teiv." Let's talk about how good is your Yiddishkeit? How good is your observance of Hashem's Torah? Kigoyin, let's use an example. It's something observant Jew does thrice daily. How about davening? Let's talk about davening. Let's not talk about saying words. It's not nice to say words, but like, let's talk about davening for real. Let's talk about davening, which the Alter Rebbe terms lishpoich nafshei, to spill your soul lefnei Hashem. That a person is supposed to spill his or her soul before God, b'chol koichei mamish, with every ounce of strength and wherewithal, as the expression goes, ad mitzui hanefesh, until the point of exhaustion. So the idea of davening is that we should cleave unto God. That's what the Kuzari says. The Kuzari says the idea of hidovik be'inyan ho'eliki, to cleave unto divinity. Cleave unto divinity. So the Alter Rebbe says, so in that case, if davening is about cleaving onto divinity, so then the kavana in davening is not just about having intention when you're reciting the words, knowing what you're reciting, so you're actually asking for what you're asking for or thinking about what you're supposed to be thinking about. But the question is, are you experiencing a yearning and a craving and a desire to be close to Hashem? That's a big question. In other words, the concept of davening per se, not only is not reciting the words, not only is being mindful of the fact that I have an opportunity to stand before the King of all kings and ask for my requests, but furthermore, what I'm supposed to be achieving through davening is being connected to God. Like it says in Chassidus, that the word tefillah shares a root with the word tofel. Tofel means like to add a layer of clay. When you know, the pottery maker, you turn the wheel and you have this. So when you maybe say add like a layer of clay, it's called tefel kli cheres. So we're talking about something that becomes attached, something becomes connected, becomes like an extension, becomes one with the original object. And the question then here is, in tefillah, are we connecting to God fully? Now, obviously, this is not an easy thing, and it doesn't happen without tremendous effort. So a person doesn't really immerse himself in this, and a person doesn't really work really hard at this, you can bet your bottom dollar you will not succeed. You know, I've mentioned many times the Alter Rebbe, when it came time for him to make a big decision, which path would he take? Although his family had a connection to the Baal Shem Tov, and the Alter Rebbe himself was born from a bracha of the Baal Shem Tov, and the upsharon was done by the Baal Shem Tov, but nonetheless, the Baal Shem Tov didn't want any kind of, so to speak, coercion or any kind of duress. The Alter Rebbe had to make this decision by himself. And he was going to go to Vilna. This is a center of learning. And he was going to go to Mizritch, which was known as a center of spirituality. And he said like this. He said, I heard in Vilna you learn how to learn. I heard in Mizritch you learn how to daven. He said, Lenin Kenachshon Abyssal. I know how to learn a little bit already. He says, davenin? I have the foggiest idea. So that's why he went to Mizritch. So this quest for davening with excellence, for davening well, is something that actually changed the pattern of history. It changed Jewish destiny, because the Alter Rebbe going this way or that way, he was such an enormously influential figure that it makes an enormous impact on the future of Judaism. And it all hinged on, it literally hung on the mitzvah of tefillah. That was the question, and that's why the Alter Rebbe went the direction that he went. So it all happened because of davening. In other words, that davening is something that a person has to do with every ounce of their being. And because you have to do this with every ounce of your being, it's something that requires tremendous toil and effort. And this is not something you do once in a blue moon, or when you have a need, or when you're inspired and you want to be spiritual. When does a person daven like this? The answer is, what do you mean? Every day. Yom yom. B'chol yom yom. It says yom yom yidrushun. Every day you seek at Hashem. So why don't we daven like that? Well, Rabbi, you know, it's not so simple. It's not so easy just to daven like that. It's not so easy to forget about all of the foolishness, or maybe important things, that clog our hard drive. We have a lot of stuff in our mind. Our heart's full. It's not so simple just to cleave onto Hashem and to pray with such fervor and such devotion. So it's not easy. Okay, but is this expected? Yeah, Hashem expects it. So if Hashem expects it, why aren't you doing it? Well, it's not easy. So when it's not easy for you, and you're not ready to do the battle, that's okay. But you're very quick to judge somebody else. How come they're not battling? How come they're not doing their part? You don't do your part either. Which doesn't exonerate you nor them. But it does make you realize that whilst you're being so quick to judge somebody else's inactivity in the area of Avedas Hashem, somebody else's inertia, somebody else's lack of battling, you're doing the exact same thing. And of course, this would require both a preparation as well as the davening itself. Says the Alter Rebbe that in order to daven properly, a person has to prepare. And the preparation is to battle against one's inner demons, one's lust, cravings, desires, one's slothfulness and arrogance and unwillingness to bend. These are the things that get in the way of kavana. Why aren't we focused during davening? Because we're focused elsewhere. Why are we focused elsewhere? Because that's what life's about for us. Aha. So life's not about God. Life's not about life's mission. Life's not about the neshama. Life's about my next meal, my next moment of fame or pleasure. Uh-huh. So that's why I'm not davening. So then I have to kind of remove myself from what's important to me now to readjust my sights so that something else will be important to me. And if something else will be important to me, then I'll focus in a whole different fashion. B'milchama atzuma, and this requires a tremendous fight. It's a huge battle. Levacham, to subdue, lechatzam, literally to cut down and to grind down, ka'ofer into soil like an earth, k'edem atfila. So this requires, this is why the Mishnah says, ein endim lehispal olam teich kevedresh, a person should not begin to daven only out of a sense of literally heavy-headedness, which means seriousness, which means that a person kind of re-examines his or herself and their priorities in life and what I want from life and what am I trying to do now. And you take a look at your present spiritual situation and you realize that it's woefully inadequate. And all these things kind of, it has the ability for us to break the unwillingness to yield and to bend to the will of Hashem, so that once you do that, then you'll be able to daven. And then that has to happen. Shachris v'arvis midi yom yom. It has to happen on a daily basis. has to happen in the morning, it has to happen in the evening. Interestingly here, the Alter Rebbe omits the concept of mincha, and this perhaps is because mincha is a continuation of shachar, they say. And maybe even because mincha, the fact that a person stops what he's doing in the middle of the day and davens mincha, even that's already something. But the morning is start off the day. Okay, start off the day, so work at it. To work at it. A day comes to a close, okay, what'd you do today? And are you ready to greet Hashem again? And actually, that's how our sages established it. We say Krishma in the morning and in the evening, and our sages established Birchas Krishma, the blessings of Shema, which, so to speak, set the stage and put us into the right frame of mind. All of this is just preparation for davening. Okay, so preparation for davening, failing grades. Let's move on to davening. V'gam b'shas ha'tfila. And let's talk about davening itself, during the prayers. Li'agei atzmei b'igias nefesh v'igias basar. To toil, the toil of soul, the toil of flesh, the toil. Like it says, like it's brought down later on, the Alter Rebbe will explain in the 42nd chapter of Tanya. Imagine a person who's reeling from a particular set of events, and now they have to put on a brave face, and now they have to just like do what they have to do, and they cannot allow whatever's on their mind to dominate and to distract. How hard would that be? Tremendously difficult. It would be a tremendous effort. It would be a draining kind of effort. A person would be spent after doing this. Guess what? That's what davening is supposed to look like. That's what davening is supposed to feel like every single day. Anybody who didn't reach this level of davening, you haven't successfully battled in this with this intensity. Then you can't in any way, shape, or form start to look down or judge the person who didn't battle his Yetzirah. Because guess what? It's the same kind of battle. That's equally difficult. You say, well, it's really hard to displace myself and uproot myself and reorient myself. Those are difficult things to do. You know, like I'm ready to go through the motions. I'll open my siddur. I'll say the words. You want me to experience inner upheaval? You want me to face transformation? I can't do that. That's not simple. That requires tremendous effort. Indeed, says the Alter Rebbe. And when you look at that person who's violating sins, open sins in the Torah, no question, doing things which the Torah says are wrong, and you judge them, do you realize the kind of effort that they would have to put in to reorient themselves, to bend and to yield, and to be able to sacrifice and surrender? Do you realize how difficult it would be for them? Yeah, when it comes to their lack of avodas Hashem, it's so obvious to you, it's so glaring, and you say, what's going on over here? How dare they? Many years ago, I was at a bar mitzvah, and it was, you know, like one of these more secular kind of bar mitzvahs, and they had a cousin from New York. So I was sitting at my table, and at some point we walked out. I don't remember, maybe because it was Kailisha or something, so walking through the hallway. And he says to me, what a sham, he says. This is disgusting, this bar mitzvah. So I said to him, really? He says, yeah, I made a bar mitzvah of my son a few months ago. We learned the tractate of Talmud and was a focus on Torah. And we is this? This is Yiddishkeit. I'm like, where are they coming from? And where are you coming from? How much of an effort have you made to displace and change yourself for your son's bar mitzvah? What did you do in order to come closer to Hashem and make a sacrifice and make a commitment? Like, why are you judging them? Yeah, but I did better things. I said, you started out in a different place. It's easy for you to judge. See, but you're not in the equal playing fields. So they're coming from a certain background, a certain reality, certain peer pressure. This is what they're used to. This is what they think is normal. This is what they think life is about. And you have a different perspective. And I'm not disagreeing with your perspective, per se. I said, but why are you looking down at them? You didn't do better. Perhaps you did worse. You couldn't even understand what I was saying. It didn't go in. Because he didn't learn any Tanya. Like, this is the way the Alter Rebbe teaches us how to view others. People talk about non-judgmentalness, which is 9 times out of 10, a bunch of baloney. Non-judgmentalness, until it's important for me, then I judge as much as I want. I judge who I want to be friends with, who I want to talk to, who I want to do business with, which place I want to go on vacation. Judgmentalness, yeah, we're judgmental all the time. Real non-judgmentalness means to understand that I can objectively say something is not being done correctly. However, I can really and truly appreciate the value of somebody else's struggle and not be looking down at them. Appreciate them for who they are. The Ein Sarach Leimer, the Alter Rebbe says, it's even superfluous to mention the concept of kavanas ha-mitzvahs lishman, not to go through a mitzvah in a mindless way, in almost like a simply instinctively doing something because you became used to it. So, for example, let's say talking about making a bracha. You're educated as a child to make a bracha, you make a bracha. The Friedrich Eber related that he once saw the famous Chassidish Rav of David Zvichain, known as Adatz. He noticed that every time he makes a bracha, he puts his hand, he puts his head forward like this, and strokes his forehead, and he makes a bracha. And the Friedrich Eber is a boy, and he goes over to him, and he said to him, "What's up with that the bracha thing? Before you make a bracha, you go like this. What are you doing?" So he said, "My father, the Peretz Chain, took me to see the Rebbe de Tzemach Tzedek, your great-grandfather. And I was a boy, 11 years old. And the Rebbe de Tzemach Tzedek said to me, it's time to veren uis yingel, time to be, get past your childhood, it's time to grow up. And he said, that means when you make a bracha, you should be mindful of whom you're making a bracha to and what you're saying when you actually make the bracha. And he says, no, so from that time I'm working on it. He's an older man in his late 60s, and he's working on trying to think who he's making a bracha to and what he's saying when he makes the bracha. That's an example of Avedis Hashem. And the same thing is also true with regard to learning Torah. Not to learn as much as you are comfortable learning. To learn much more than you're ready to learn. And that comes to Bukhama Atsuma. A person has their comfort zone. Here's what I do. Here's what I don't do. Well, how about going that extra mile and doing what you don't usually do? A person who would study Torah a little bit more than has become nature for them, or they're used to. That's a small little Muhammad. That's a small battle. You're not battling. You're not trying to overcome a huge insurmountable Yetzirah. All you're doing is just stepping outside of your comfort zone. And that is something that every one of us has to do. And even that you're not doing. The Mikir Rasha Gomor that you're called a complete Rasha, Im Einem, Inatzeach, if you're not vanquishing the Yetzirah, the Yitzel, Yis Nichnev, and Nishbev, and Hashem, a person has to be ready to bow before Hashem and to bend himself before Hashem and to break himself before Hashem. Alter Rebbe says, now tell me, Mali Bechines Surmeida, Mali Bechines Vasei Tev. What's the difference if they're not battling when it comes to avoiding toxic behavior, which the Torah says is evil and bad, and you're not battling when it comes to serving Hashem and doing things as good as you can? What's the difference, he says? Hakol hi mitzvos hamelech. Everything is the commandment of the king. Hamelech HaKadosh, the holy king. Yachidim yuchid baruch hu. It's all the same mitzvah of the Eibishter. So what's the difference? What do you say? But that guy eats so-and-so. Okay, and you didn't daven. So what are you comparing? That guy eats so-and-so. He's doing an aveda. I didn't daven. Said Alter Rebbe, what do you mean? The same Rebbe Nishlon, the same God that said that one should daven with fur is the same God that said that person should avoid that kind of behavior. Chayim b'shar mitzvahs, and the same thing is applicable really to the whole plethora of mitzvahs. Ubefrat, bedavar shem mammon, and especially when it comes to something that costs people money, like it says, you want to find out who somebody is, bekisoi, bekaisei, bekaisei, touch him in his pocketbook, or when he drinks, or when he's in anger. But the point is, when it comes to giving money, all of a sudden people turn into little monsters. Still on? Yeah. I shouldn't finish on the note of a monster, right? but here really is the point then. When it comes to something that actually costs us money, that's when all of a sudden the worst within us comes out. It's so easy. So you say, you look at a person and say, that person didn't overcome the Yetzer, and that person didn't fight their evil demons, and that person, when you had to do something which was right and holy and good, were you prepared to do it? Did it come easily for you? Or all of a sudden was that a chance of, well, Rabbi, you have to understand, I'm only human. In the same way you cut yourself slack, in the same way you understand that when you fall short, that you have plenty of reason for it, and you don't think it's such a harsh and terrible thing, in the same way, says Alter Rebbe, don't be judging others. And that dose of humility can help us to get past our EDD, our...